Praise the Lord. I thank God for those that are here. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your people who have gathered today, Lord, in the midst of this blessed day, Lord. The weather, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We need the moisture. We thank you for the moisture. Just we ask you to protect people. Let people be safe coming and going today, Lord. Those who can't be here, Lord, we pray for them. Be with them. Bless them. If they need healing in their body, we thank you, Lord, that they're healed. We speak that right now in Jesus' name. And we send your word to them, Lord. But we just give you thanks for this opportunity to come into your presence. Once again, we proclaim that this is your time and we are your people. And Lord, we look to you to lead us and guide us and to give us your word this morning. And for all that, we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. We ask you to build up, edify, comfort, and exhort. And we proclaim also, Lord, that we have open minds and receptive hearts for your word this morning, Lord. We want to be changed. We want to be directed and corrected by you, Lord. Hallelujah. In the blessed name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, we praise you and thank you and say amen. Praise God. Or let's give God his tithes and our offerings. Amen. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we rejoice to come into your house to worship you today. We thank you for the safe journey that each of us had to get here. We ask you to get us safely home, and we ask you to protect everyone that's out there
Amen.
Traveling right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you to be with those that aren't with us today. We ask you to bless them and touch them in your own way that you know how to, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless this offering that we're about to receive. We ask you to multiply it so that we can continue to do good not only in our community but throughout the entire world, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. We worship you. You're worthy, Lamb of God. Mighty God, everlasting Father, give you praise and adoration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you once again. We thank you for the opportunity to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and in your courts with praise, Lord, this morning. Lord, we place you at the highest place. Father, forgive us if we've slipped, if we've grown cold or lax in our service to you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. We repent right now. As a body, we repent, Lord. As a church, Lord. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, you have a message. And Lord, once again, I yield myself to you according to the prayer that's been prayed. And now, Lord, I say, Lord, I surrender to you. Use me as you see fit. Touch my tongue with a coal from off the altar of God. Let me bring forth your word in truth, in power, and might. Father, I thank you already in advance that your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it's sent to do. For all this we praise and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God is always on the move. He's always working. He's always got things that he's accomplishing in yours and my lives and on our behalf. If you want to, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. You know, sometimes as humans we get a little we struggle a little bit with the daily routine and the things that God asks us to do, and to keep up a good testimony. I mean, there's days when you wake up and you just I don't feel like it. I've heard my son say, and I've said, many of you have said, if not all of you, I don't feel like going to work today. Maybe it's you don't feel like going to church today. The Bible says if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. What's the good of the land? It starts with the blessings of God that He's promised to every person in this world, if they'll serve Him and they'll love Him. What does that mean, to love Him? That means that everything that He says is precious to you. Every direction that He gives you is precious to you. It's not an option. Amen? Not an option. We all desire to walk in the blessings of God. We all desire to walk in the supernatural of God. But sometimes our flesh gets a little weary. But we shouldn't be operating in the flesh. The flesh shouldn't have any say in the matter. Paul said, I keep under my body. What does that mean, I keep under my body? That means my body does not dictate to me what I'm going to do or what is right. The Word of God in my relationship with the Lord is when with the Father God is what dictates to me what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. My body doesn't have any say. You wake up in the morning and your body says something dumb, then you tell it, shut up. Shut up. I didn't ask you your opinion. I'm going to be about my Father's business today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 3, we read how Jesus was faithful, but how the people of Israel were not faithful. Here they were getting supernatural miracles, and even though they were not faithful, God still provided the manna. He provided the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And He provided the manna and fed them and kept their clothes from wearing out. And they still disobeyed. They still got caught up in their own actions and their own ridiculousness. And as a result, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, when it should have only taken them a short period of time, maybe a month, to go and walk into the promised land that God promised them. How many know we have exceeding great and precious promises from God? Amen. And it's important that we not lose our zeal. It's important that we not keep our focus with God. Amen? Don't be weary in well-doing. He says, in due season you'll reap if you faint not. What does that mean? That means you keep on going no matter what. Why? Because you're pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're pressing on to a different drummer. A drummer that's higher and better than anything you've ever followed or listened to before. Amen? Hallelujah. We see the calamity of what happened to the children of Israel. We're going to sneak into verse chapter 4 here just in a few moments when we get done with chapter 3. But follow along with me, if you will, starting in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. God's talking to His people. He says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Say, that's me. Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Our confession should be in Him. It should be what He says. What He says we have. What He says we'll do. And we need to do it in obedience. Amen. Listen carefully. Who was faithful to Him who appointed Him? Jesus was faithful to the Father who not only gave birth to Him, but appointed Him to the work that He was to do in this earth. As Moses also was faithful in all his house. See, we know about the story of Moses. Moses never got to go into the promised land. He got carried away one day and got in the flesh. And it wasn't that God didn't love him, God didn't save him, God didn't deliver him. He was delivered out of Egypt just like the rest of them. But because he did something that was out of impetuousness, out of impatience, and out of possibly anger, I don't know, you decide that, he did not get to go in. God was still with him, but he missed out on the blessings of going into that land of milk and honey. Verse 3. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Jesus was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. And we're not necessarily talking about outward houses. We're talking about the building of the inward house of our lives. Y'all with me? And one who builds that house is Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. And that is worthy of more honor than the house. In other words, he gets all the glory. Amen? For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, as a servant, for a testimony of those things which could be spoken afterwards. In other words, he was setting up. When we do what we do, we're setting up the opportunity for ourselves to have, when we obey God, when we do what he says, when our focus is on him and doing what he wants, then what that does is that builds up a testimony for us to be able to share. I served the Lord. He was faithful. Because I gave him honor, he has blessed me. Because I served him, he blessed me. He built the house that you see. Amen? But Christ, as a son over his own house, isn't he over his own house? Aren't we the church and the body? And isn't he over us? Aren't we the dwelling place of the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. We're his house, we're his temple, if we hold fast the confidence we have in him and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. Means no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I hear, I'm not moved by that. I'm moved by the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the power of God and his ways. And I've made up my mind I'm going to be faithful to the end. Amen? I'm going to run the whole race. The prize at the end of the race is salvation. Eternal salvation. Being with God forever. Being with the Lord forever. Amen? Hallelujah. Pretty good reward, huh? Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What rebellion? The rebellion of Israel. God's people that he blessed. And they took for granted those blessings. They went off in all kinds of garbage and all kinds of nonsense. Listened to other voices than the voice who was leading them. They didn't pay attention to Moses and to Joshua, who got appointed as the ones who would lead them out. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. You know where you really go astray? It's not necessarily in the outward actions that you do. Where you first go astray is in your heart. When you first start missing the boats, when you start listening to your emotions and your feelings, instead of seeing what God's doing for you and keeping faithful and steadfast on that. And they have not known my ways, or in many cases, they've forgotten my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The promised land was a place of rest. It was a place of blessing. And this is a picture of exactly what we're moving towards in our lives, entering into that promised land that God's promised of eternity with Him. Amen. God gives a warning in verse 12. He says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. One of the biggest things that the children of Israel did is they saw the blessings of God and they still rebelled. They still said, God's not with us. God's brought us out here to perish. I mean, dear God, you talk about the proverbial not being able to see the forest for the trees. Their shoes weren't wearing out. Their clothes weren't wearing out. They got provided food. They were given protection by night, protection by day, and direction. But they still went astray in their hearts. There were things more important to them than what God had said, which made them lose focus of exactly what was going on. They became blinded to the power and the blessing of God and the leadership of God. Excuse me. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily, while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What was the beginning of our confidence? When God reached down and snatched us out of the muck and mire, the miry clay of this earth, the wickedness and the degradation and the sin in this earth. We've got to hold our confidence. Confidence in what? Confidence in God. Confidence in where we're going. Confidence in what God is doing in our lives and has done in our lives and will continue to do if we'll stay steadfast. Verse 15, while it is said, today you will hear His voice, do not, again, a warning, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. It was rebelliousness. The Bible says the rebelliousness is a sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft doesn't start out supernatural darkness. It starts out with selfishness and manipulation. And that was what the failure of the wilderness wanders was in the end of verse 15. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, it was not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses. There were some who perished in the journey. See, if they'd listened and they'd obeyed, they would have gone into the promised land in just a very short period of time. But their rebellion went on for 40 years. How many remember when they sent out the spies? The spies went out and checked out the land and said, we're well able to go up and take the country. But a few came back and said, there's giants over there. Oh, we're not going in there, honey. No. They'll think that we're grasshoppers. And we'll be grasshoppers in their eyes. See, again, just like when Peter stepped out of the boat and the storm was raging, you take your eyes off of what God's doing and you begin to sink. Or you begin to go backwards instead of progressing. Once again, the question comes to my mind, what's back there for me? What's back there for you? You want to return to the heartache and the stuff that you were taken out of? You want to go back to the hopelessness of not knowing God, being without Him, and not having somebody intercede for you and bring you into the right path and continue to direct your life? When things happen, I mean, how many of you know people out there right now that are hopeless? Hopeless. They don't know where to turn. And yet in that, just like the children of Israel, they were God's, the Bible says, heaven and earth declare the glory of God, but they refused to see God's glory and they refused to walk in it. They don't need pot to get healed, they need the Lord. Many of them are, but they use the excuse of it being medicinal. Ha, ha, ha. Where have I heard that before? I understand what you're saying here. Yeah. I have a notion that anything that is harmful in one way is not good in another way. That's really not what God had in mind. I'll let that go right there. What it is they worship other gods, and one of the major gods that people worship is their self. See, in that case, the Ten Commandments and the law of sin and death is still in operation in their life. Amen. Amen. See, they need to understand is that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Some men, gods are money. Some men, gods, their drugs. Some men's god is their selves, their pleasure, the things that they seek after. And yet when it comes down to the very situation where they find themselves in need or in a hopeless situation, they don't know where to turn because they've rejected God. And God is the only answer. Amen. For who, having heard, rebelled indeed? Was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned or who rejected him and who didn't give him honor for what he was doing? I mean, dear God, they didn't even get out of Egypt before they started complaining. Each Egyptian started chasing them and they started, "Oh, you brought us out here to die." God just delivered them mightily. This boggles my mind. How can you want to stay in what the Scripture calls bitter bondage? Hard taskmasters. God said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. No. Their own thoughts and their own feelings were more important than seeing the salvation of God. Amen. Amen. What's that? Well, fear is always involved. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is to Satan what faith is to God. Somebody who used to come to this church said once, brilliance, brilliance. I mean, it's an amazing but a simple fact. It's too simple. If you're going to worry, why pray? And if you're going to pray, why are you worrying? Let God be true and every man a liar. And once again, I submit to you, I mean, I'm going to keep saying it till we get it down, this is the biggest liar we have to listen to. Satan's not even our biggest problem. He's a problem, but he's not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is us. Amen. One of the reasons we confess the Word over and over and over again, and we look at the Word and faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, when we're told to speak it out of our mouth, it's because we believe us more than we believe anybody else. And once we speak it out enough, and once we meditate on it enough, and we keep going back, what happens is it goes from this place right here to this place right here. I'm not talking about the physical heart. I'm talking about the spirit of man. The soul of man. And it becomes reality. But if all you ever do is just look at what you see, and everything that you see and everything that comes your way affects you adversely, then you're never going to have victory. Did you hear me? You will never have victory if that's the way you think and that's the way you act. Amen. Again, verse 17. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? And that's the same today. Behold, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, but I encourage you, choose life. We need to confess like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Our help comes from God. It doesn't come from any other source. And if it does, then it's only temporary. And it's only going to get you partially out of trouble. It could get you even more trouble because you trust yourself more than you trust God. Amen. So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. And it all stemmed. All the sin was stemmed from unbelief. Even though it was right in front of their face, they couldn't see the forest for the trees. And their unbelief is what kept them out of the promised land. Now listen carefully. The thoughts continued in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains, God promised. He didn't renege on it. Didn't He say, have I not spoken it? Will I not do it? The promise remained of entering into His rest. And that's what it's all about, us entering into His rest. But that's not in the sweet by and by. We have that opportunity and that ability right now in this life. Let us fear, not fear like you think, it's reverence for God, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Listen carefully to verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The children of Israel heard from Moses and knew that God was going to deliver them. They had the promise. But they had no faith in that. Their faith was in the things they saw, the things that they could do, their abilities, and the abilities of other people that were in the group, in the crowd. They didn't recognize the anointing and the calling of God on Moses' life. And as a result, they wound up wandering 40 years on what should have been a month trip. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I think their switch got stuck on stupid. Verse 3, verse chapter 4. For we who have believed do enter. What does it say? We who have believed, you who have believed, you will and you are entering into His rest. As He said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Family of God, didn't Jesus say it's finished? Hasn't He done everything that He needs to do? He's promised to give us the kingdom down here, not just in eternity. But it takes you setting your face like a flint and not looking back. You need to have spiritual blinders on like they blind a horse so the horse can only see what's in front of him. See, they didn't listen to the to the, what the God's word was. They didn't pay attention to the fact that He brought them out of Egypt. They paid attention to every little detail that they were afraid they were going to miss out on. Afraid of every shadow. Amen. There's some of us like that right here. Brethren, it ought not to be so. Listen, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, see, God already had it in mind. Adam's sin didn't catch God off guard. He knew what was going to happen, but He had it worked out from the foundation of the world. See, He loves us so much, and He desires fellowship with us so much, that He went to great lengths to bring us salvation, to promise us. And if you will, you can look at this chapter 3 and 4 as part of that salvation being fulfilled before Jesus came to the earth. And the fact that He wanted to set His people free. Doesn't He want to set you free? And He said, whom I've set free are what? Free indeed. Amen, Patrick. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His work. And again, in His place, they shall not enter My rest. In this place, they shall not enter My rest. Who won't enter? The people whose focus is not on Him. The people who've got, they think they've got a better way. How many remember the old slogan from Ford? We got a better way. No. Not even close. He's the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And the only way you get to Him, the only way you enter into that rest, the only way you enter into the promised land is through Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And again in this place, they shall not enter My rest. Verse 6. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again, He designates a certain day, such as in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today you will hear His voice. Do not harden your heart. I'm reminded of a scripture that talks about a person who was told, I think it was Job, that there's no help for you in God. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The only help you're going to get, the only help that's going to be lasting, the only help that's going to give you peace, the only help that's going to give you joy, the only help that's going to see you through is the help of God. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. I think we're going to quit there. This morning, I woke up with coming to church this morning and even being here, Bill and I were here a little early before everybody got here, and I was just kind of going over what God had given me, and all of a sudden there was a joy. I remember the zeal that I had when I first became a Christian. And I want that zeal restored. I want to tell you, it was all I could do to sit there and not get up and dance. I look forward to the day when I can do that again, when I can physically be able to just dance before the Lord. Because that zeal's in me. That driving force is in me.
Dancing on the inside.
Well, if you saw my feet going, I may have been sitting, but my feet and my hands and my heart were leaping for joy. And I'm going to do that again. I'm prophesying to you, I will do that again. Like I told you last Sunday, I said, What you see here is not the final, not the final story. I'm not changing my confession. I'm not going to change my thoughts. I'm not going to change my attitude. I'm going to keep trusting God. I don't care what happens. Let me ask you a question. If God comes before I can see the fulfillment of that, have I lost or have I gained? Or have I still won? Amen. Amen. It's a no lose, it's a no loss situation. Not a no win. Either way, I win. Glory. Amen. Amen. That's right. We need to just do it God's way. We need to just flat hunker down, settle in our hearts, settle it in our hearts that God's way is the best way. And no matter what comes, no matter how big, no matter how small, trust God and see the outcome be what He promised and what you are desiring. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at the benefits. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, with God, if you serve Him, you're His servant and you work for God, the benefits are eternal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who are listening to those lies. Bill and I were talking about that this morning, too. And I don't care who you are, I don't care what your background is, and I don't care how far you got away. There's always hope for you in God. I know there are people, I hate what Obama's doing, but you got to be able to separate the hatred for what he's doing for the hatred for him. Hatred for him is not what God expects. Y'all may not like this, but God loves him. And God died for him. Jesus died for him too. One of them did the right thing and he entered into his rest. And the other one didn't. Even standing there, even seeing what he was seeing, he still was so into himself and so into his rebellion that he went to Hades. I mean, he's in the place waiting to go to Hades, to hell. Because and right there was his salvation. He may have died on that cross, but he could have gone into eternity with an expectation of seeing the final rest. Amen. Supping with him, having supper with him. I didn't make that statement. The Word of God made that statement. That is nothing that they believe is or let me rephrase that. Most of what they believe is totally false. There are some things that they have, I don't know how they got it, it must be by the grace of God, but they have a handle on. But if you go on and see this, Linda, this is one of the things that we have to be very careful of. I spoke to some people on our fellowship on Tuesday, on New Year's Eve. You know, people read something and they read one scripture and all of a sudden their whole foundation is built on one scripture. And then when the rest of the Word of God comes, or the continuity or the context of the Word comes, they're disillusioned. You have to base what you know and base what the Word says on the rest of the Word. Let me say this way. First of all, one of the things that people need to understand, basic principle, foundational principle, is the Old Testament contains the New Testament, and the New Testament explains the Old. Okay? I can't tell you I have a total handle on it, but I know that you can't go to hell, although the Bible does talk about the rich man who was in a place of torment. It calls it a place of torment. It doesn't call it hell. Okay? And how he wanted Lazarus, or the beggar, to dip his fingers in water and cool his tongue. But Satan will not be cast in the lake of fire himself until Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom on this earth and the new Jerusalem comes. I don't know that I understand all that. Harry may have a better understanding. I just know that I have to go with what the Scripture says, not just in one place, but the entire Scripture. There's no question we're going to be with God in heaven. But if that man, of course, you have to understand too the timing when that was written. The timing when that was written was prior to Jesus. Before Jesus ascended, he went to hell and then he ascended. So he said, this day. Are we talking about that one day? And again, you have to understand God's timing. God says a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So there's some things that, all we do is, like the Scripture says, see through a glass darkly. But let's don't get hung up on those things. Let's don't base our life with God based on something that could be a stumbling stone. Okay? I promise you, God's got the answer, and He'll give you the answer if you seek Him. Well, on the other hand, if you read in Thessalonians, it says the Lord Himself was sent from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And it says, then we which are alive and remain should be caught up together. And it goes on to say that, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So that's another indication that there is some place intermediary before we actually enter into the full rest of God. Amen? So you see, there's some things that you have to really sit and study and, really seek the mind of God on. Amen. And then after they are resurrected, then the Bible says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then so will we ever be with the Lord. The Bible says if you preach any other gospel than what's been presented to you, that you're cursed. God said that. I didn't say that. The Word of God said that. And the point is, what happens is some of these religions, and that's what they are, they're not truth, they're religions. They're heresies, and they're doctrines of devils. And the reason they're starting to come out with some of these things now in this day and age, number one, because the time is short. Exactly. And number two, because it appeals to the flesh. And how many people, because they don't understand, will take the easy way out? Your Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there will be that will go in there. But it says, narrow is the way that leads to life, and narrow is the road, and few there will be that find it. Yeah, well, and that was another issue. When Moses came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments, what God told him, he said, you need to get down now because, your people are going crazy. Well, not only that, they had people like Aaron help build the idols that they were going to now worship. They got weary in waiting for Moses. They got disillusioned. It's taken too long. Impatience. That's what it was. And there were a lot of people that died that day because of that very thing. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death and then hell. I don't know how we got off on a thing like this. Are all hearts clear? Are you blessed this morning? Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You, Lord. We exalt You. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You that Your Word accomplishes what it's sent to do, Lord. I don't know what You had in mind this morning. I just was obedient, Lord. But I trust You. So, Lord, I thank You that Your Word now is being sealed in the hearts of everyone who's here by the Holy Spirit of promise. And, Lord, we look to that promise, Lord, and that final catching away, Lord, that final time when we'll be with You. But, Lord, we're going to continue to do what we know to do right now on this earth. And no matter what happens, Lord, either way we win, Lord. So we give You praise and thanks for this day. We give You thanks and praise for Your mercy and Your grace, for being watching over us, giving Your angels charge over us, and for opening our eyes, illuminating our understanding in Your Word and in Your ways, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Bless Your people. I thank You that Your blessings overtake Your people, Lord, that they walk in the light of Your countenance, Lord, and they are blessed coming in and going out, Lord. And all they touch prospers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Just real quickly, Father, bless our fellowship. Bless the food. We sanctify it in Jesus' name. And we thank You for Your presence being here with us. Amen.